what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Wow, sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but most of the things we listen to have very little to do with life. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, but most of the stuff from the media has even less importance to do with life. Ha! Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because to me, this is a gathering of authentic biblical life. That's why. And also Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. In fact, we're just amazed you're listening. How about that? It's just amazing right there. But, you know, for all the stuff that we do, doesn't. I just want to talk faith, okay? I want to talk faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. Hallelujah. All right, so we're also asking questions about living life as a Christian. Yesterday, we asked a really tough question. What is it you don't want people to know? Watch this follow-up question. Follow-up question. We're supposed to share our faults and pray for one another according to the command of James chapter 5, verse 16. How willing are we to follow this command?
Probably not very willing.
It's like, wait a minute. You want me to entrust my life to somebody else? I don't want you to entrust your life to anybody else. First, you got to entrust your life to Jesus, and then you need to entrust your life to people who have Jesus in them. Ah, big difference right there, right? If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's just kind of a sad thing. Just give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like eating your favorite appetizer at your favorite restaurant, which I might have to break down and do this weekend. I'm not saying. I'm going to see my doctor on Friday so he can look at me and go, nice poison ivy. Then he can go, give me your arm. I'll go like this. He'll go, nice elbow, nice tennis elbow, nice. And then he'll say, you're doing good on the weight. You can take a small break. Thanks, doc. Okay. Also, by the way, if you want to reach out to us, you can do that, of course, by phone. You can also do that by texting. Down to open text is like weird. Yeah, but it's cool. It doesn't put you on the air if you're uncomfortable with being on the air, but it does give you a chance to engage and interact. How you do that is you text on this number, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here comes the semi-professional voice.
214-210-8483.
Not bad, Dave.
That's not a bad one. If you want to, you can send an email. We like that, too. David@hemustincrease.org. We do have people that email in, okay? It does take longer than the text, but we get to it. And if you answer a trivia question, the timing is there. We give it to you. David@hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, @hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. Let me give you a big thank you for the people that have been giving in response to what I've already talked about in the last day or so. So that's very nice, you guys. And you know how much I appreciate it. But we're going to stay on it. In the sense of scripturally. So first, I want to remind people that on the website, of course, are the podcasts, all the podcasts, about 4,600 hours worth of podcasts. That's why we put up those little you know, kind of search engine-y thingies. They're not perfect, but they give you some of the topics in the pods if there's something you're looking for that you need encouragement in. And as well, you know, if you need something specific topically-wise, you can always ask me, and I will connect you to whichever pods are the closest that I can think of. Additionally, on the website is a place to give. We'll start with this scripture today. See, we're doing a new scripture every day, right? Here's this scripture, Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. So you remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And what a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you're able to give to the ministry, awesome. If you can't give it financially, but you can give it in time and effort, please do so. If you can give it in prayer, that's what we'd love the most. But if you want to be a steward and come alongside us in this ministry, giving is a huge way for us to do that. And under my own conviction, you know, I don't like it, but I'm trying to move myself into a better place and say, yes, Lord, instead of yes, and then kick the ground and, you know, throw a rock down and stuff.
Well,
like
you're staying biblical with it, Dave. That's a good thing, too.
I mean, the way for me to do it is in that vein. So I got to break away from what I've been through and from what I've experienced and stay and say the principles are here before me scripturally. These are the ones I got to use. And this is how I got to stand. Because if you can't stand in the truth, if you can't stand in your faith, if you can't stand in the faithfulness you have in the Lord, you can't stand in anything. So this is like, okay, got to work this way. Got to work this way. So all that to say, check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
I'll tell you, I wish I had one of those for some of the things that I've said, especially to my wife, you know. Whoops. I didn't say that.
Didn't mean that.
I need one of those. Anyway, we are actually, a couple things I want to remind you of. Please be praying for the audience. It's superbly important for us to be praying and caring and loving on one another. That's just something we cannot stress enough. If there's nothing that you ever get from this show, it should at least be, which is actually the most that it can be, besides drawing closer to the Lord, which is number one, but praying for one another, caring for one another, loving one another, taking on each other's burdens, laughing when the others laugh and cry when the others cry. Be a family, the family of God as Jesus intended, okay? That's kind of a big deal for everything we're doing. So please be praying for one another. We've got a lot of cool stuff that's going to be happening. I want to go right into the teaching. This is a little bit unique, so bear with us, please. We are in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and we are at verse 12. We are Psalm 37. What is that? Psalm 37, Dave? Yes. And verse 12, and it says this: the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Did you hear that? The Lord laughs at him, because he sees that his day is coming. So in Psalm 37:13, we get this really funny, hilarious little clip. We get to find out that God has a wicked sense of humor. By wicked, I don't actually mean wicked. I mean awesome sense of humor. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 4 says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. And while the laughter the Lord has is centered in derision, ridicule, and mockery in this text, it clearly demonstrates that God does have humor built into the entire universal system. Okay, that's, you can't escape that. So if you, again, if you're unsure of that, I'm gonna help you out and just ask you to do me a favor. Just bear with me. Pull out a small pocket mirror and take a look, and then tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Okay, I mean, come on. I mean, everybody's like, "Oh, I look so good. I look so good." Look at you. It's like, you look, and then you look at some of the creation, some of the things that God has made in creation. You look at the platypus and you go, "What?" It's like so bizarre, right? It's a little bit of the humor. And you think, no, that can't be right. So then when it says a merry heart does make like medicine, and when it says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, that doesn't apply? Of course it applies. And people often think, well, Jesus, he never said anything funny. Well, that's for people that don't read the Bible. That's who that's for. You just go, I can see why you don't he says anything funny. You haven't read it. Because when Jesus calls James and John the sons of thunder, it is entirely a nickname of humor in the context of they said, let's bring down, you know, fire and thunder on these people. And Jesus is like, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. Well, a year later, he's like, yeah, don't forget the sons of thunder. It's like that is so human. And what we've done, in a little bit of what we've done, is removed the humanity from Jesus. Now, he is fully God and he is fully man, just like you are fully good and fully bad, so to speak. In other words, there's all of it, but in Jesus, it's all good. But he understands every element of the humanity side. He doesn't just get some of you, he gets all of you. His mom was Mary. He had a mom. Her name was Mary. He knows what that's like. And so even in life, as you go through, there's these different things. Maybe some of them are more sarcastic and quip. Maybe some of them are a little firmer, a little less firm. There is a power in understanding that God is the one who created humor. There is a power of relief. In fact, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this or not. Now, I've had this happen multiple times. Maybe you haven't. I mean, I'm not saying you have to have it happen. But have you ever laughed so hard your stomach hurt? Right? You just have to say, and it's not even really that funny, but it's so funny in the moment. You just, and then it doesn't even matter. It's like the follow-up joke is probably completely ridiculous. And then you even laugh harder because it's got nothing to do with anything else. You're just caught in the zone.
Those are the best ones.
That is a, just so you can know, physiologically and psychologically, one of the largest releases the body experiences. From tension, from pain, from hurt. Did you know that? It's like so powerful. And it's like, see, to me, that's what, and when you get there, and you know, and I've done this, and I'm sure you guys are this, you start laughing, especially if you've ever watched, I'll just use this so people can get upset. That's fine. And don't tell me this person was bad or anything like that. I don't care. But if you ever watch Carol Burnett and watch Tim Conway when he riffs or when he does like ad libs, the entire cast that's on the set, they start laughing because it's so funny, and then nobody can recover in the skit because they're all laughing. So powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. That's why I used to work with Christian comedians. I think they're great. I think they're hilarious. One of my favorite lines from a Christian comedian. So he comes in this, we're all meeting together. His name is Adam. He comes into this group and he goes, okay. He goes, where are you from? Where are you from? And then people will raise their hand. And so I said, Detroit. And he goes, where are you from? He goes, Detroit. He goes, sorry? He goes, no, I said Detroit. He goes, no, I said sorry. I'm just sorry you're from Detroit. See, that's funny. I don't care what anybody says. When I left, I said, me too. Here's what I want you to know. It's okay. Now, in this context, God's humor is definitely a mockery, almost a ridicule, a derision. But you have to understand that God creates everything. In fact, Scripture says in Isaiah, God brought everything into being. And so in that context, he created you in his image. And there's this little funny bone thing in you, this little tickle funny bone thing, and it is a grace, especially when you understand that Mary Hart does make like medicine. Sometimes the best thing to do is just to laugh. Did you ever get to the point in a trial where there's nothing left that you can do and you just go, okay, whatever. I don't even care anymore. So ridiculous, right? That's another part of humor. And then don't forget the Moroni word, or Moroni, which we get the word silliness and moron, just in case you're wondering. And that's the theme of the preaching of the gospel to humanity. It's like, guys, this whole thing is really funny. You just don't understand.
You have to laugh to keep from crying.
That's a good line right there. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. We got so much to cover, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, You can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Very brief teaching. Follow along with it. It's not very complex. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you listen. For to one who has, more will be given, and from one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Like, ow! Okay, first of all, the big teaching here is listening. We just talked yesterday about being present. This is part of that. It's kind of like a part two on that, okay? And by present means be there. When people are talking, listen. Be there and be a part of it. It's very clear that God, by testimony, has given us two ears and one mouth. What does that mean? We should listen twice as much as we talk. Which means I do a lot of listening. Sure. Anyway, but my ears are big, so it helps. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and then slow to speak and slow to anger. It tells us in the scripture by command to be quick to hear, to listen. Now, the difference is hearing is receiving sound decimals and listening is making sense of those sound decimals. So don't just hear, but listen. Make sense of what you're hearing. Make sense of what's being processed. And it's ironic that Jesus said, take care how you listen. When you hear something and it's kingdom, seize it. Hang on to it. Hold it. Don't let it drift away. Because if the enemy has an opportunity to take it away or to befuddle it, that's the first time I've used that word in a long time, to quench it. If he has an opportunity to do that in your life, he will. He's an enemy. He's not your friend. Satan's your enemy. So you got to be aware of that. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our first trivia question. Just in regards to that last segment, I'm just trying to say this as simple as possible, not just because of the educational process, but listen, as Christians, listen, it's okay to laugh. Okay. Just giving you permission. Okay. All right, here you go. How old is your very first trivia question? Again, don't answer other questions, just this one. How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? That's the question. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. For those who are looking for a reference point, Genesis 25 will be your reference point to get that. How old was he? Very interesting, because you're going to see why that's interesting. By the last trivia question, you're going to go, oh, I get what he's doing with that. If you think you know, reach out to us. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA. DNA for us is our building blocks, how we should function every single day as Christians. Here it goes. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
When we get to the next hour, you're going to go, uh-oh. I'm going to say, you're going to go, yeah, that's really right, isn't it? Yeah, you're going to see that there. Okay, that's D, for draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. What are the words of Jesus? Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, because it says, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So it's all connected. Get it? All right. And you don't want to be embarrassed by what Jesus had to say because you don't want him embarrassed by you. Right. All right. So that's the N for never be ashamed of his word. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
Always be ready. To what?
To serve.
To serve. Oh, what is that? OPM. What is OPM? Other people matter. And so what we want to do is just take some of the energy that are slopping on ourselves and offer it much more kindly to those that are around us so that we can bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, and fulfill the desire that Jesus has for us to love one another as he loved us. Okay? That just makes perfect sense. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. Okay? Somebody ready to answer the triv question? All right, let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. I need you to turn down your radio just a little. Got a little bit of echo going.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, turn it. There we go.
There you go. All right. So, all right. How are you doing, by the way? How are things?
Not too good. Not good at all, really.
Okay. What's going on with Nola?
Well, they've just given her just a short amount of time left.
Okay.
With us. So.
So everything they've done has come up short. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, and how is Nola and how is Mom and Dad?
Well, Nola's in pain, and Mom and Dad are, there. Mom has been there every day, in the hospital room, and Matt, our son, is staying there for as long as necessary. So we're just spending as much time as they can with her.
Yeah. And is there a time frame? Because, I think that this is an urgency call for not just for myself, but for everybody who's been praying for Nola to bombard heaven and say, we need a break here. We need a miracle.
I mean,
this breaks my heart. It wounds you in the sense that you just want you want her to be well.
Yes, and live. I mean, she's 7, almost 8 next month, so
yeah,
I don't know if she'll make that much longer, but we're just it's sort of devastated.
Yeah, it is devastating, brother. I weep with you. It's so hard, and you just want to, it's that thing you want to do. You want to just say, hey, take my life, and you can give her my life, and you just want
that's exactly what I said to my wife. I said, I think I'd I'm kind of on up there in years, and I'd exchange my, cells for hers and, live a longer period of time. So, I said to my wife, am I really serious about that? I was like, I think I really am. It's just like to that point, I've lived a good,
No, I know that exactly. I know that exact process that you're going through because I've done the same thing. It's kind of like this bargaining thing, and it doesn't even involve you direct. It's not a direct involvement in the sense that you're not the one that's sick, but it's like, look, I will give up the rest of what I've got just to give her even just some more. And you want to do that, but in the wisdom, and in the faithfulness and the sovereignty of God, He's got it in His hands. And so my mindset, I'm just telling you how I process it, so that maybe it helped you. So King David, when he knew that baby that Bathsheba had, there was big problems. He petitioned. He fasted. He sought the Lord. And when the Lord said no, He let it. He got up. He got dressed. He showered. He bathed. He went back and he ate. And his servants couldn't figure it out. And it's like, look, I'm going to go see that child. I'm going to see that child again. But I thought, while I'm here, I might as well just do whatever I can to petition to break through and to see if the Lord would change that. That is the best that any of us can do.
That's right.
You know, that is just the best. So I want to pray over you, okay? I want to just pray with you if that's all right. And I just, I want you to know that the audience, I'm getting text after text, people are weeping and they're hurting for you, for Nolan, for their folks. And they love you guys and just want you to be well.
Thank you so much.
But nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's quitting the fight. Nobody's going to stop praying. We're just going to keep moving forward, okay? Until the Lord says no, there's no point in not petitioning. So let me pray over you, okay? Let's pray.
Okay, please. Thank you.
Father, we come before you right now, and I just lift up my brother to you. And gosh, Lord, our hearts are so heavy because we don't want this. We want a different result. No. We want it to be different. We don't want this going down this path this way. And we petition you like David did for the baby, and it's there's any way that you, in your mercy, can touch this child and something can happen miraculously, and that child could come back to fullness of life. Well, we ask you to do it. We take away from ourselves just to give it to this child. Because she's got so much for the future, and we got nothing. We're fine, Lord. So I ask you, Lord, just to give this family as great a sense of peace as can be given, to fight every moment until there's nothing to fight for. If indeed, Lord, you turn it, that everybody's faith would rise high. And if you don't turn it, that our disappointment in you would not have a root of bitterness in us and not defile us, but instead we would turn to you and say, you make sure she's the first one we see when we come back up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our heart, Lord. That's our heart before you.
Yeah.
And I just pray you just to bless John. I pray you not just bless him, bless Nola with comfort and love and grace and mercies. Please reduce the pain. And please, for her parents who are probably numb of mind and spirit, that you would give them some hope, some confidence, but mostly the peace that passes understanding.
All right.
Pray for our brother, pray for their family, pray for your love upon them. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Ooh, thank you.
Well, we love you.
That helps my heart.
We love you, and we just keep going. We're all, everybody in this audience is going to pray for you. Everybody's going to pray for Nola and for the folks. And it's all we want. We just want the grace of God just to pour out.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yes. I feel better already.
The one thing that I do take comfort in is like when my mom passed, because she's kind of the iffy for me and my family, because most of my family is not making it. I mean, I'm just being honest. But but she had this little sliver of hope, so she's the one that I'm like, when I get there, she's the one that I hope when I crack open the door after I see Jesus, you know what I'm saying, that I would see her face, and then that she would be there.
So. That's great. That's a good
sign. Brother, I love you. You know that.
Oh, you too. Thank you, David.
God bless you, bro.
Bless you, too.
Okay. We'll talk. And keep me posted. Text me anytime, okay? Or email me anytime. Don't hesitate, okay?
Thanks. Okay.
All right. God bless you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, we're just going to break. There's not a lot to...
Yeah, a lot of prayer requests, and you know, we all love Brother John, and just his strength even going through this is very, very apparent, you know, that he's a godly man, just because it's a lot of strength to be going through something like this and still trying to make it, so God bless that family. Have mercy.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. Please don't forget to pray for that family. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Destroying everyone
and everything. The David Spoon Experience.
Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Brother Stan.
Hey, Brother Stan, how are you, brother? We mentioned you a little bit earlier. I want people to keep on praying for you. How are you doing, and how's your wife?
Well, I want to answer the trivia question and give a praise report.
Oh, okay. So let's do the trivia question first. And there's a little leeway in this one statement because it has, like, three different really practical responses.
Yeah.
But let's just go with the ones on your heart. What kind of giver does God love? What kind of giver?
Cheerful or happy?
That is correct, Amundo!
cheerful, happy, generous, great-spirited, any of those will work. But God just wants people that say, here it is, praise the Lord, I'm glad to give it. Not people that go, I got a five, I think I can squeeze that out. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not the right kind of offering for God. We don't do stuff like that. That's bad, right? We do it with the right heart and the right spirit, right?
That's right.
All right, give me an update. Give me an update.
Update, wife's out of hospital, changed woman, high in spirit, high in praise, high in energy. The Lord is just a God, and I appreciate him. In the witness of all the radio audience and you, Brother Dave, and everybody at the radio station, my God answers prayer. Because it was heavy on my heart on how my God, how my wife would behave after being released from the hospital. She is in wonderful spirits, and it's just a great thing that God has done for me, because I had a lot of things weighing on me, you know, things that she used to do, paying the bills and all of that. That had to be on me, which I take that. You know, I get that. The vow said, better work, soon health, rich and poor. And so I'm proud of myself because I've done what I could to step in for my wife who was missing for those short weeks. And she's a sweetheart. She's changed. God has answered our prayer.
Hallelujah, brother.
Wow.
That is just a fantastic testimony. Everybody who's listening should recognize, and then we shoot this off to Gary right now, who's got his issue going on with his wife, Sheila. It's like, listen, God does stuff. Let's keep pushing until something happens. That's right.
Yes.
What a great testimony.
I'm going to hang up and listen. But Gary, now I'm praying for you and everybody else. The saints' prayers will be answered.
That's right.
God does answer prayer of his people, his children. I love y'all. Be blessed.
All right. God bless you, brother.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.